Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
The Gospels are not the earliest stuff we've got.
Lee Strobel on Focus on the Family Minute.
We have creeds of the earliest church that are embedded in the New Testament that go back even earlier. For instance, 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 3, is a creed of the earliest church that says Jesus died. Why? For our sins. He was buried. On the third day, he rose from the dead. And then it mentions the specific names of eyewitnesses and groups of eyewitnesses to whom he appeared. This creed has been dated back by scholars to within months of the death of Jesus. Within months.
Yeah.
That is a news flash from ancient history. One of the greatest historians who ever lived was A.N. Sherwin White of Oxford. He said the passage of two generations of time is not even enough for legend to grow up and wipe out a solid core of historical truth.
More from Lee at FamilyMinute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Let's be honest. Everyone hates putting up Christmas lights. So why not just skip it this year? The truth is, it's not about the lights. It's about creating the memories. It's about seeing the kids' faces light up and not spending all day hanging up lights. I'm Aaron King, the owner of Slow Holiday Lights. We handle everything you need to make this holiday season the most memorable yet. We design, install, maintain, and store the beautiful Christmas lights so you don't have to lift a finger. No ladders to fall off of, no tangled lights to mess with, no stress, period. Look us up at slowholidaylights.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to Free Talk California with Susanna Luthi on AM 1230 KPRL 99.3 FM. Phone lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. California Free Talk is brought to you by A-Town Diner in Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open for dinner every night. Ask about the daily specials. And now, Free Talk California on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Good afternoon and welcome to Free Talk California. I'm Susanna Luthi. Today, a little later in the hour, my guest will be Andrew Kerr, a former colleague of mine at the Washington Free Beacon. He has been reporting on the scandal brewing around Governor Gavin Newsom's former chief of staff. So we're going to dive into some of the findings he's uncovered and see what else he's working on that front. There is a lot to cover today. It feels like a just barrage of scandal is coming out about the regime that has been really running our state into the ground. And it's on many fronts. Will it change anything? I don't know. That's up to us. But I'm going to start with something a little more close to home, because the health of a society obviously starts with the health of the people who make up our society. And I'm going to just share something that really moved me a few days ago. It was a reflection from, what century was it? The 19th century, 1874. That was in the Catholic devotional that I use daily, and it's a meditation for women, but if it can benefit any men out there, just keep listening. Anyway, I found it really wonderful and countercultural because, and I don't know if I'm the only one who's noticed this, but there has been this deluge, almost like it's planned and it's pushed. You know, they did a lot to ruin the prospects of so many women of my generation by really pushing just society in general, pushing kind of this anti-marriage, anti-kids agenda that I really fell for. I lived the quote-unquote liberated life in my 20s and most of my 30s, and I can tell you it was very empty, nothing like what I have found in marriage and raising children with my husband, purpose-filled children, and a purpose-filled family. But it's the same logic that was really just force-fed us through magazines and culture and TV shows to live the quote-unquote liberated life. It seems to be fed now to women who did get married and had kids to push them to leave. There was a good sum up of this whole new cultural phenomenon, which to be fair, started a while ago. Remember that horrible book, Eat, Pray, Love, and the movie, the subsequent movie with Julia Roberts, and that woman who wrote it. I can't remember her name, but she has gone on to kind of have a series of strange upheavals, personal upheavals after leaving her marriage and going to discover herself. And it does not seem to, nothing has seemed to satisfy her. I think that's kind of like the basic, that the message is that we women have really absorbed making us unsatisfiable, because everything is about what we deserve. So anyway, the City Journal had this good sum up of this whole kind of cultural talking point now. This was published a few months ago, but the story read, "Today it's middle-aged women who are bailing out of wedlock, shedding their husbands, their youthful illusions, and their inhibitions. Divorce, according to a 2024 Washington Post headline, is how they are, quote, finally finding happiness. A wave of writers has discovered divorce to be the most liberating development for women since the pill. If Morale Silkoff's New York Times piece is any indication, the new divorcee is even having, quote, the best sex of her life. Note the curious context in which this cultural turn is taking place. Marriage and by extension birth rates are hovering near record lows. Gen Z, the next cohort poised for adulthood, ranks marriage and children near the bottom of its life priorities. Meanwhile, as Netflix cheerfully puts it, we're watching grown women living their best lives. Family life is a mess. A closer look at the self-actualized divorcee opens a window into the fractured state of relations between the sexes in a 21st century post-normative America. The new divorce story stars a professional class woman somewhere between 36 and 50 who leaves her husband and sets out to reinvent her life. Etc. And they talk about all the movies that are coming out, really pushing this idea. There's one with Anne Hathaway, one with Laura Dern, one with Nicole Kidman, and they all are a little depressing. So anyway, here's the antidote to that. I'm just going to read it and then we will move on into politics. So this meditation is by a French archbishop from the 19th century. He wrote this. Who shall find that volatile being who passes with lightning rapidity from one opinion to another, as formless as those strange creatures we find decomposing on the seashores? Who shall find that nature, variable as the wind, altering her convictions with every fresh change of weather or caprice of an unreasoning crowd? To such questions, the answers would be instant, the applications numerous. But who shall find a valiant woman? She who can draw from stores of never-failing courage the necessary energy to make head against all the difficulties of her position, its daily worries, hourly anxieties, and ever-recurring contradictions and disappointments. She who can bear up bravely under the many inevitable shocks of life, under family jars, interior depression, and all those slights and wounds which, like the legions of insects in autumn, are perpetually assailing the heart of a woman. She who presides with unvarying prudence over the labors of her household and all the details of her housekeeping, who rules her servants wisely and preserves due order in the arrangement of that multitude of petty affairs which follow on one another through every hour of the day as quickly as the clouds of heaven flit across the sky. Who shall find a valiant woman who shows herself superior to disaster, to calumny, to the malice of men, and to the many blows of fate, and who, when the violence of the waves is spent, still remains firmly rooted in the sea, a beacon and a light to poor shipwrecked mariners." Anyway, I hope that is as encouraging to some of you might hear it as it was to me. All right, so with that, let's go on into the ugly world of politics. So this isn't directly connected to California, but I do want to just note, if any of you have heard of the mounting scandal around the widespread and very deep taxpayer fraud in Minnesota, which was allegedly enabled and even protected by Tim Walz, the Democratic governor who, remember, Kamala Harris picked as her VP candidate. He very nearly could have been our vice president. And if you are not following this story, you should, because I think it probably has a very similar trajectory here in California, because it's a very similar corrupt regime that really protects certain groups and funnels taxpayer money into all kinds of questionable places where the money just disappears. Remember the $24 billion that was spent on homelessness that nobody knows where it goes. So anyway, basically the story is billions of dollars in Medicaid fraud and charity fraud by Minneapolis Somalis who are using Minnesotans' tax money actually to fund Al-Shabaab, which is Somalia's Islamist terrorist group. And it's just pretty shocking. It's pretty shocking. Even the New York Times has reported it at this point, and they noted something particularly damning in their story, basically, that, and they put it in this kind of passive way, but basically, according to the story, state officials tried to slow or check payments to one Somali charity that was supposed to be feeding people, handing out food during COVID, and got a lot of money from the state. And they saw some red flags and wanted to slow things down. And the founder of the charity threatened a press blitz to accuse the state officials of racism if they slowed the payments. And they sued the state over it. And sure enough, officials backed down because they were too afraid of being called racist. If you want to read more about this, yes, you can read. Christopher Rufo reported well on this story, and so did the New York Times for a slightly different lens. But by far the best account that I've seen actually was broken first, and it was in the print-only newspaper County Highway. I don't know if you've seen that around. Its co-founder, David Samuels, was a guest on the show talking about his reporting on Barack Obama. And anyway, I think one of the County Highway's main editors actually lives in Templeton. So anyway, if you don't subscribe to County Highway, it's print only. It's not online, but you can find it around here. I know Joe's Place in Templeton. I've seen it there. I've seen it in a few coffee shops. So anyway, I endorse that story and urge you to read it because, as I noted, probably very similar parallels are happening here. We have all that homeless money, as I mentioned, that has basically disappeared. The city of Los Angeles alone is spending nearly $1 million per homeless person every year, only to make homelessness worse. And then we have our Medicaid program, Medi-Cal, which now pays for the health care of illegal immigrants. And that the cost of doing that, just sending money to illegal immigrants, has ballooned to over $13 billion in the current budget, which is over double what they said it would cost. And that's all as our budget deficit is predicted to be $18 billion, so not much more than that $13 billion that's going to illegal immigrants. And I can tell you as a former health reporter that fraud in Medicaid is rampant. How the Somalis ran their fraud scheme in Minnesota was by overbilling, claiming that they had all these children on Medicaid had autism, and so collecting all this extra money. Very easy to do that. And there has been zero interest. There's really, I mean, it was this case when I was in D.C. If you brought up Medicaid fraud, you were kind of accused of hating poor people. And this is just a way to cut health care for poor people. That's always the party line on any time you bring up Medicaid fraud. So very similar to the whole racism thing. You know, you hate poor people. You want to you want to hurt them. Steve Hilton, who is one of the GOP candidates for governor, just went on a podcast and told the story about an Afghan shuttle driver in Sacramento who insisted on being paid cash because he gets $7,000 a month in welfare and didn't want to lose that. So basically gets $84,000 a year in taxpayer benefits. And in fact, the state social services department actually told him they would personally deliver his groceries because, quote, Americans are racist. So that is something to look out for, as so many other scandals seem to be enveloping our leaders in California. One story that I am really watching now, and it's all unfolding in court documents, which is great for good footprints, is the story about the Palisades fire. And it seems to be creeping up to be Newsom's big Achilles heel. And I think I mentioned this a few weeks ago, but Spencer Pratt, the former reality TV show star of The Hills, which I never watched, by the way, seriously, I seriously didn't. He has kind of become this unlikely hero, doing far more investigative reporting than any state reporter did, including myself. Like, he's found stuff that when I was at the Free Beacon, I was trying to find. But anyway, some of the stuff, some of these really eye-popping revelations about state mismanagement of the fire has been coming out in legal documents. So one piece of evidence that was recently discovered was something called the Wildfire Management Plan, which was issued by California State Parks just a few weeks before last January's wildfire, which destroyed the Palisades and other parts of Los Angeles. And it basically states what Governor Newsom's policy was. Quote, unless specified otherwise, State Parks prefers to let Topanga State Park burn in a wildfire event. Remember, Topanga State Park is what envelops the Palisades, Malibu. And the document completely ignored and did not care about the fact that this park surrounds and touches residential neighborhoods where people's houses are, where people were living. The document was prepared in December 2024, so just a few weeks before the January 7th fire broke out. And it was part of the legal discovery, as, you know, Palisades residents who've lost everything are suing leaders, city and state leaders, for alleged negligence, which allowed their homes to burn and helped them leave everything. Meanwhile, and I think I mentioned this also, but really good to connect all these dots, according to federal investigators, the Palisades fire was rekindled. The fire that destroyed all these homes killed people. Remember, it killed people. They're 90-something-year-olds who lost everything. There's no way they can rebuild. They've been displaced into apartments in downtown Los Angeles. There's a Holocaust survivor who's 92, I believe, who lost her home. Where is she going to go? So anyway, this Palisades fire was rekindled from a smaller fire called the Lockman Fire, which started January 1st. It was started by an alleged arsonist, a 29-year-old out of Florida. And according to the federal indictment against this alleged arsonist, he started this fire, quote, on land owned by the local Mountains Recreation and Conservation Authority, and it spread onto land owned by California State Parks, namely Topanga State Park. While local firefighters put out that fire, there they thought they put out the fire, and then they came back the next day on January 2nd to make sure it was fully extinguished. And this is where some smoking gun starts, the gun is smoking. There are text messages that were first reported by the Los Angeles Times, the LA Times. And the text messages told the local firefighters to leave, quote, even though they complained the ground was still smoldering and rocks remained hot to the touch. In other words, that the fire was still a real risk. So this is this was probably a really fateful decision, because a few days later, everything was ablaze. Investigators from the Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives later determined that the fire continued with the root structure of plants approximately 20 feet south of the original blaze. Then we all know LA Mayor Karen Bass flew off to Africa, where she was at after being warned that there is, being briefed multiple times, that there is an extreme wind event. And apparently this, who knows who briefed who, because this was in a state park. So this is on state officials' responsibility list, that there was still smoldering in a state park as all these wind advisories were happening. I mean, they were happening. And the extreme winds came up on January 7th. That was a Santa Ana wind. And the fire reignited. And there was all this dry chaparral because, as we all know, Gavin Newsom has not allowed proper fire mitigation management. And this has been a problem for his entire tenure. And I did some reporting on this. You know, there was so much. There's so much evidence that there's so little controlled burning or any kind of management that was done for fire mitigation that has been recorded by the state. So anyway, this is a story that we should all be watching. I do think that it will cause big problems for our governor and leadership. So anyway, stay with us. We'll be right back with my former colleague, Andrew Kerr from the Washington Free Beacon. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Free Talk California.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero, the best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care, all your vehicle needs, everything you want.
Fox News, I'm Tom Graham. The White House is restricting travel from Afghanistan after last week's shooting of two National Guard troops by an Afghan suspect. Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt.
The hard truth is that even when it comes to our legal immigration system, past presidents have failed to ensure that all prospective citizens love America, will add value, and contribute to our communities.
Now, the suspect, trained with the CIA in Afghanistan during the War on Terror, entered the U.S. legally in 2021. Accused killer Luigi Mangione appearing in a New York court today. He's accused of killing the UnitedHealthcare CEO. Brian Thompson was gunned down on a Manhattan sidewalk.
The first witness is a New York City Police Department public information officer. The defense likely trying to challenge him on some of the public statements police gave about this case.
Fox's Eric Shawn, America's listening to Fox News.
Fall is a great time to get outside. Whether you're headed out for a hike, to the beach, or just taking a walk, Tackens has the shoes you need to get outdoors in comfort. Treat your feet to the latest sandals from Keen, Reef, Olukai, Earth, Birkenstock, and much more. Take a hike in the latest and greatest outdoor shoes from Tanner, Keen, Merrell, and much more. Come on down to Tackens in Paso or San Luis today and treat your feet to something special. Tackens Shoes, locally owned and operated since 1937.
Welcome back to Free Talk California. I'm Susanna Luthi, and I am joined now from D.C. by Andrew Kerr, my former colleague at the Washington Free Beacon. Welcome, Andrew.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on. So we've discussed on the show a little about the indictment of Dana Williamson, who is the former chief of staff for Governor Gavin Newsom, and you've been working on reporting on that indictment. So let's kind of just summarize where we are with this case. She was charged with 23 counts of fraud and I'll let you kind of summarize where we are with those allegations against Dana Williamson, and then we'll just dive into the further connections that you've uncovered in your reporting.
Sure. Yeah. So Dana Williamson, Newsom's former chief of staff, was arrested a few weeks ago, and almost all the counts are related to the scheme that she's alleged to have enacted with several co-conspirators to transfer around $225,000 from an inactive political campaign account for the former HHS Secretary Xavier Becerra, and through a series of transactions funneling into one of her friends' accounts. She's also accused with lying to investigators, filing false tax returns. There are all sorts of bizarre expenses that she was deducting, such as an $11,000 yacht rental she claimed as a business expense, thousands of dollars in like Gucci bags, tens of thousands of dollars, you know, to cover trips to like theme parks and stuff like that, $100,000 for a no-show job for one of the co-conspirators, and then, you know, allegedly deducting, you know, all that, you know, from her taxes in violation of law. But what was really interesting to me about all this is that the when this was first reported, Dana Williamson's, when the indictment first came out, Dana Williamson's attorney and reporting from the LA Times were saying that the feds had, federal investigators at the FBI had originally came to her and wanted her cooperation on another investigation into Gavin Newsom. And Dana Williamson says that she had no information, you know, no information related to any sort of wrongdoing that the governor was engaged in, and that she refused to cooperate. And it's kind of like a suggestion that, like, her refusal to cooperate with the federal investigators, you know, trying to get Newsom, they then, you know, brought this indictment. But this wasn't the Biden. I'm sorry, this wasn't the Trump FBI. This was the Biden FBI.
Right.
This investigation started 3 years ago. So that's very interesting. Like, how could Newsom be looped up into this? And that's what I set out at trying to find. And there's clues in the indictment. Almost all the charges are related to this, you know, essentially like this money laundering scheme to get these funds out of Xavier Becerra's campaign account. But buried at the bottom of the indictment, there's this a section that the prosecutors that put in there that, saying that Dana Williamson made false statements in regards to her work with Corporation One, about how she, you know, collaborated to, you know, this corporation was under investigation, and that Dana Williamson was, you know, essentially working to quash the investigation from the state side, give the corporation a nice settlement. She was interfering in a Freedom of Information Act request or public records request. And that seemingly has nothing to do with the crux of the allegations. And so several news outlets have identified this corporation as Activision. And it turns out that in April 2022, seemingly unrelated to Dana Williamson, there is a high-level Newsom administration attorney by the name of Melanie Proctor, and she came forward with this explosive allegation that Newsom's office was meddling in this high-profile sexual discrimination lawsuit that it had brought against Activision, the video game developer that makes Call of Duty. They're one of the biggest video game developers in the world. And Proctor said that Newsom's office had demanded advance notice of the state's litigation strategy, abruptly fired the administration's lead prosecutor on the case, and was essentially, you know, taking actions that were, quote, mimicking the interests of Activision's counsel. And when you compare Proctor's allegations to what prosecutors wrote about Dana Williamson's alleged conduct with Corporation One, it's like an exact one-to-one match. I mean, the charging document essentially, you know, confirms this whistleblower's allegations that, you know, Newsom's office did interfere in this case against Activision. And Proctor herself, the whistleblower, she posted on LinkedIn, vindicated. So she certainly feels like, yeah, like I told you all. And so
I have to interject here just because I was at Politico when this Activision whistleblower allegations came forward. And it was really, really interesting. So Politico, particularly in California, is kind of seen as this, and probably rightfully so, as this establishment-friendly publication. So the Activision people, and it was all done through third-party consultants, but they brought us a story against... And this was off the record at the time. They were really pushing this kind of attack piece on, I believe it was Melanie Proctor, basically the whistleblower, and trying to make it seem like there was this big, fishy conspiracy. And it was so kind of murky and confusing, and we couldn't get the real story. So we passed on it. Bloomberg ended up taking the story, and anyway, I kind of lost the thread on it after I left Politico. It all happened close to the time I left, but it was really, I mean, there was a big coordinated offensive going on, or defensive against Proctor and pro Activision, and I had never kind of quite seen anything like it in California reporting, like you see it in DC. But, you know, I knew nothing about Activision. and it was, so it really stuck with me because they were so aggressive in pushing the story. And as I said, like, this was a couple of years ago, we passed on it. I can't remember the consultants who were pushing it. But when this particular part of the indictment, when I saw it, I was like, oh, there was a lot of manpower behind this effort.
Yeah, in hindsight, I guess Activision had good reason to want to quash this because, you know, I mean, brought in this and Williamson's charging document, prosecutors they really mince no words. They say that, like, you know, one of the first things that Williamson did when she became Newsom's chief of staff in January 23 was to direct a high-level government attorney to move the litigation to a different part of state government, get it settled. And they said, quote, you know, she was working, you know, in a manner beneficial to the company. And it just so happens that Williamson used to be a paid advisor to Activision in 2022. The timing of this is really interesting, though. That Melody Proctor came forward, the whistleblower came forward with her allegations in April of 2022. So this was before Williamson became Newsom's chief of staff. And like the moment that, and so in 2022, she was, you know, from the private side, serving as a paid advisor to the company, while the company's being alleged, or while Newsom's office is being alleged to, you know, be working behind the scenes to quash its own, case against the company. Then Williamson, you know, comes on board, early 2023, and then, you know, does allegedly, you know, works on behalf of her former client to get the state's case, yet settled in a manner beneficial to the company. But it does raise the question that, you know, well, what prosecutors wrote essentially confirms what the whistleblower said in 2022, but it also kind of suggests that there was someone else in the office, in Newsom's office, that was engaged in the interference at the time. And it may explain why prosecutors allegedly asked for Newsom, or for Williamson's help and you know, cooperating on this undisclosed probe with against Newsom. We don't know what that undisclosed probe is, whether that's still ongoing, but it's just, you know, it's very noteworthy that prosecutors found it necessary to put in these allegations of Williamson, maybe false statements about, you know, Corporation One, which is Activision, and the, you know, at the bottom of this charging document. And a section that has seemingly nothing to do with the rest of the allegations. And so is this matter closed, or are they, or are feds still, you know, searching for something against Newsom? We don't know, but I think it's just very noteworthy that they included her conduct with Activision in this indictment.
So let's next get into the connections of Activision's former director. His name is Casey Wasserman. He was a big donor to Governor Newsom. So let's dive into those findings that you reported.
Yeah, so this lawsuit that the California filed against the against Activision is a sexual harassment case. So the company, the Wall Street Journal, did a lot of reporting. This is back around like 2021, when California filed the lawsuit alleging that the company had cultivated this frat boy atmosphere. So Activision, like they developed the wildly popular multiplayer game World of Warcraft. You know, like think like sweaty neckbeards. So apparently the allegations were that like the company itself was like kind of like had that sort of like, you know, male dominated, you know, kind of, you know, allegations of nasty conduct against female employees. So California filed a lawsuit against the company, and in those early filings, the state is saying that, yeah, we're going to be seeking, you know, this company could see like $1 billion in damages, which would be like, you know, that's just a huge number. But, you know, right around the same time, the Activision's then director, Casey Wasserman, like, he's super tight with Gavin Newsom. He's contributing $100,000 to his recall defense campaign, you know, just weeks after the administration filed this lawsuit against the company. And then around the same time, Wasserman co-chaired this fundraising event, reportedly, that raised more than $1 million from Newsom's recall defense. So we've got, like, well over $1 million that you know, Activision's one of their direct company directors is providing either directly or indirectly to Newsom. You know, at the same time, his administration is suing his company, and at the same time, his administration is alleged to be, you know, interfering in that same legal effort or legal battle against the company. And Newsom's ties with Wasserman is continue. Wasserman serves on the organizing committee for the 2028 election. And in January, Newsom tapped him to lead a private sector initiative to support the Los Angeles wildfire recovery efforts. So,
yes, and that drew a lot of criticism. I was at the Beacon, obviously, at the time, and he is not that was viewed with a lot of suspicion from kind of good governance people at the time. But yes, that I knew that I recognized the name, and I had not connected him with Activision. Just knew that he had been a big Newsom donor.
Yeah, so I mean, you just like put the pieces together here, like on the whiteboard, and it's like, Newsom was pretty tight with Activision. We can see with the public records, and then with the prosecutors seemingly confirming these whistleblower allegations, even behind the scenes. Another important thing about Activision is that it's kind of like the company's like the binding glue between a lot of the other co-conspirators. At least two of the other co-conspirators in the Williamson indictment have also worked with Activision. Several of the firms, the companies that are involved in shuffling these the monies around in this, you know, Xavier Becerra campaign money laundering scheme also used to work with Activision. And so it just, like, why it doesn't really make sense why the feds would you know, go after, you know, kind of a reasonably small dollar, you know, money laundering scheme, you know, from that the chief of staff of, you know, of Gavin Newsom was involved in. You know, to me, it just makes a lot more sense, you know, logically, that there's something else that the feds were looking into. And throughout the course of that investigation, they then came across, you know, everything, you know, that they ended up charging Dana Williamson with, but and that original thing that they were looking into may very well been, you know, these allegations against Newsom and you know his office's interference in this Activision case.
Do we know anything of why the feds took interest in this particular case? Obviously, it was under the Biden administration. Is there any gossip in D.C. about it that may not have reached California?
Not that I've heard. What I've seen is that the reporting that I mentioned that the federal investigators had originally wanted Williamson to play ball and provide information that could implicate Gavin Newsom in some unrelated probe. Mm-hmm. To close the loop on the Activision.
We'll have to close the loop after the next break. We're up against our next break. So let's listen to these messages from our sponsors, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Free Talk California. Stay with us.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages losing steam in the final hour of trading and kicking off the new trading week and month lower and snapping a 5-session winning streak. Stocks have been volatile since concerns about an artificial intelligence bubble emerged this fall. Healthcare and industrials were the worst performers, while energy gained and Bitcoin has resumed its sell-off and fell to over $85,400, down from a weekend high of around $91,000. As Bitcoin prices slide, shares of digital asset exchange Coinbase Global fell nearly 5%, while shares of Strategy, the biggest corporate holder of the cryptocurrency, fell 4%. The Dow winners, Apple, Home Depot, and Nvidia. The Dow decliners, Goldman Sachs, Amgen, and Caterpillar. The Dow down 427 points, the Nasdaq lower by 90, S&P 500 down 36. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
If a Lenovo computer for your business is on your holiday list, don't shop around. Just go directly to the source, Lenovo.com. You'll find exclusive deals on the PCs you want for your business, like the ThinkPad X9 14 Aura Edition and Yoga 7i 2-in-1. So avoid all that shopping chaos and price comparing, and just go directly to the source, Lenovo.com, where PCs are up to 50% off. That's Lenovo.com.
Lenovo, Lenovo.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Wesley with Stove and Spa Center. It's finally getting cool, and we don't want to leave you out in the cold. Stove and Spa Center has a great selection of stoves, inserts, and fireplaces to get you warm and cozy in your house this winter. Don't miss savings on freestanding stoves, gas inserts, and fireplaces. How would you like being warmer this winter and save money too? It's possible with a fireplace insert from Cozy Heat. Cozy Heat's highly efficient gas inserts and fireplaces come in many styles to fit any home's decor. Save big on Cozy Heat fireplaces and inserts during Stove and Spa Center's Big Autumn Sale. All products we offer are on our website at stoveandspa.com. Save big on Cozy Heat fireplaces and inserts during Stove and Spa Center's Big Autumn Sale going on right now. Don't miss out on all the special offers at Stove and Spa Center, 7485 El Camino Real, Atascadero between Curb Rail and Moore Roads.
Welcome back to Free Talk California. I'm Susanna Luthi, and we are speaking with Andrew Kerr from the Washington Free Beacon, my former colleague, on the scandal enveloping Governor Gavin Newsom's former chief of staff. So just before break, you were going to close the loop on the various connections of everyone in this story to Activision. So let's dive into that.
Yeah, the alleged efforts from Newsom's office to interfere in this Activision case, it worked. The state was originally said when they brought this lawsuit in 2021 that Activision could see upwards of $1 billion in damages that the state gets its way, but they ended up settling with Activision in late 2023 for about $55 million, which is, I mean, really a drop in the bucket for Activision. I believe they were acquired by Microsoft around this time for something like $65 billion. So $55 million is just it's literally nothing for the company. Most notably, California conceded that it couldn't prove any of the original sexual misconduct allegations against the company that it originally alleged. And Activision admitted to no wrongdoing in the settlement. And the settlement documents essentially what the company agreed to do was to give a small amount of cash, a couple thousand dollars to each of their female employees who worked in the company from, I believe it was something like through 2015 through 2020. And if those individuals accepted that settlement, then of course they were barred from bringing forward any sort of lawsuit against Activision in the future. So like if any employees have like legitimate claims, they could stand to lose a lot if they took this the settlement. So now the Activision's former CEO, Robert Kotick, is now citing the settlement as evidence that other media outlets defamed him, that report on the allegations. So this all worked out to Activision's favor. They got the state off their back. A big case. And it's kind of funny that, that Newsom's alleged to interfere in the sexual misconduct case against this prominent company, when his wife Jennifer Siebel Newsom, she's made an image for herself, kind of being a crusader for ending sexual discrimination in the workforce, and yet Jared Newsom is alleged
and the taxpayers pay her salary to represent this for some reason with a fully staffed office in the state government.
Right. So it'd be interesting to hear her take on this, were she to ever comment on it.
She also asked Harvey Weinstein after he allegedly raped her for advice on how to deal with the fallout of a scandal of her then boyfriend Gavin Newsom's after he had an affair with one of his staffers, who is also his former best friend's wife. So her record on women's rights is a little
normal
mixed
conduct from nothing to see there.
Yes.
This is not the first time that Newsom has been alleged to leverage the powers of his office to benefit his corporate benefactors. I did a story earlier this year. California requires politicians to report any behested contributions they make.
Right, right.
So that's essentially if they request someone or some entity to make a donation to a charity on their behalf, they have to disclose that they behested those contributions. And so I went to the database the sheer number of behested contributions that Newsom is making, like that.
Oh, I know, it's shocking, and it always ties. I've done reporting on this too. It always ties to something that's on his desk or a big matter. PG&E is a really looming example because PG&E gouges us for electricity rates and has been held responsible for one of our worst wildfires, but then is let off the hook. And they happen to have donated to his wife's, to Jennifer Siebel Newsom's charity around that time.
Right.
It's so shocking, and yet no one seems to care. It's one of those strange, you can get a quote from one ethics guy in California who will say, yes, this is not right. But it's just, it keeps getting ignored by all but, a few people who do care, because they rightfully see these conflicts interfering with good governance. It's kind of obvious.
Yeah, well, he may not be getting proper scrutiny from the state media or state voters, but Newsom's all but certainly going to be running for president, and I think these stories could be could be quite damaging to him. I mean, you know, one of the behest of contributions I found in 2024, he behested $25,000 from CVS, like at the very same time that CVS was lobbying his office against a bill that would have cracked down on their business. And then Newsom ends up vetoing that bill just a few weeks later. And CVS cut its check to the California Protocol Foundation, which is this charity that pays for Newsom's out-of-state travel and overseas travel. So, like, and that's not, like, really cherry-picking. That's just, like, I mean, if you just go through the list and you can see these conflicts just kind of all over the place.
Right.
And it kind of blew my mind. It's like, you know, this state has been sitting out there for years. Why am I sitting in an office in Washington, D.C., the first person to report on this stuff?
But, well, it's been reported. Yeah, it's been reported, but it never leads to anything. Mm-hmm. Because it's been going on for years. I mean, since he was lieutenant governor. And it's very similar with our attorney general, who is under scrutiny now because of his ties to an Oakland crime family, which is and it led to him spending almost $500,000 of his campaign money on this FBI probe. You know, it's all out there, and you know, even the San Francisco Chronicle's reported on it, but it just doesn't seem. And there was some outrage after the big Paradise fire, but and then it was seen that all his contributions from PG&E, but yet nothing changes. So it will be interesting to see if this, you know, now that the feds are involved, maybe this will start unraveling something. And I just kind of can't wait to see if it will. What's your sense?
Yeah. The FBI reportedly sent out letters to several members of the Newsom administration and lobbyists in California, notifying them that their communications had been intercepted during the course of their investigation into Dana Williamson. A couple of the Sacramento Bee and other news outlets have reported that. So that's typically something that the FBI does when you know, investigations have been, you know, kind of closed and you know. So that could indicate that if federal investigators, you know, under the Biden administration had initially you know, started looking into Dana Williamson because of this Activision case, that maybe, you know, you couldn't find anything to implicate Newsom, or that they closed that line of investigation. We just don't know. It's possible that something else could be, you know, brewing in the background with Newsom. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, as Williamson's case progresses, they may have included the section on Activision to kind of, you know, there may be a play for them to kind of signal to Williamson that, like, hey, the only way you're getting out of this is to tell us what you know about Newsom's involvement in this Activision case, you know, interfering in his own state's, you know, legal efforts against this company that, you know, just so happens to have all these ties to him. It'll be interesting to see. But, you know, the crux of my story is just kind of like highlight that, like, hey, like, you know, this is kind of a big deal in the case that prosecutors included Williamson's conduct towards Activision in the case. And there's just a lot there, you know, showing that, you know, especially with this whistleblower back in 2022, kind of confirming, you know, everything that she was alleging at the time.
And what is Newsom? We just have a minute left, but what is Newsom saying? What is he keeping quiet on this? What's his office saying?
Well, in 2022, when the whistleblower first came out, he said it was categorically false that his office was interfering in the Activision case. So I asked his office, like, hey, are you guys standing by, you know, that you're, like, that your chief of staff was, like, interfering in the case according to federal prosecutors? So, but no, he said in an interview a few weeks ago that it came as a real surprise and shock to him.
Yeah.
And that, you know, there's nothing that connects him to the case that he's trying to
All right, with that, we have to wrap. Thanks so much for joining us, Andrew. Thanks to all of you for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Free Talk California is brought to you by A-Town Diner in Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open for dinner every night. Ask about the daily specials. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton. It's